It's a schos and an honor to be with you today once again. Our Parsha Shir, one of the highlights of my week. So many things going on. We just started Sefer Shemos, and now we're in Parshas Vayera, such a jam-packed Parsha. We come back to all the things that we learned in the Leil HaSeder. Unbelievable. And we're going to talk about different Divrei Torah. We could keep this Shir. Keep your notes, and you'll have it for the Seder night. But we have a lot of topics. Hopefully, we'll get it all in. The Torah starts off, Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe, Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem. Hashem comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, I'm Hashem. Ve'ero El Avraham El Yitzchok Ve'El Yaakov Bekel Shakai, Ushmi Hashem Lo Nadati Lehem. And I appeared to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov, that through my name, Kael Shakai, I did not become known to them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu is scared. And he says, I'm not doing it, Hashem, I can't go. And Hashem turns to Moshe and says, I am Hashem. I'm going to help you. And just like I was with the Avos, I was with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I'm going to help you through this, and we're going to take Klal Yisrael out. You're going to be the leader of the nation. And then the Torah goes on to Pasuk Vav, Perek Vav, Pasuk Vav, Lachin Emor L'Bnei Yisrael. Therefore, say to Klal Yisrael, Ani Hashem, I'm the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm God. Ve'hosesi Eschem. And I'm going to take you out, mitachot sivlos Mitzrayim. I'm going to take you out from the burdens of Egypt. Vitzalti eschem, and I'm going to rescue you. Miavodasam, from the servitude. Vigaalti eschem, and I'm going to take you out. I'm going to redeem you, bizroa netuya, with a strong hand. Ubishvatim gedolim, and with great judgments, with an outstretched arm and great judgments. Vilakachti eschem. And I'm going to take you for people. We know that these are the four Lishonos of Geula. These are the four languages of Geula. Ve'hotseisi. And I'm going to take you out. Ve'itzalti. And I'm going to rescue you. Ve'ga'alti. And I'm going to redeem you. Ve'lakachti eschem. And I'm going to take you to a nation. It's actually Mamish Siyata Deshmaya, because this week I'm starting to learn Arve Psochim with my Bachrim. And Rashi and the Rashbam both bring down in the first Mishnah of the 10th Parak of Psochim that the reason why we have Dalad Kosos, the Leil HaSeder, the four cups of the wine, quotes down in Yerushalmi and Psochim, is because of these Dalad Lashonos of Geula. Question one, what do these four Lishonos of Geula, Ve'hotseisi, taking out, Ve'itzalti, Ve'ga'alti, Ve'lakachti, what does that have to do with the Arba Kosos of Leil HaSeder? Seems very strange. What's this reason that we take Dalad Kosos because of these four Lishonos of Geula? And furthermore, the Gemara tells us, the Gemara tells us in Psochim that between the first and second kos, you're allowed to drink. Right? You always have like the little kids. Even we're allowed to do it. You take a little sip. You're a little hungry. It's late at night. Baruch Hashem, we have Magid and the CS Mitzrayim. And everyone's getting into it. I love Pesach. It's unbelievable. You know, I take the kids out. I pretend like I'm having Mitzrayim over here, taking out with my suitcase, traveling with them. They think I'm crazy, but they love it. It's getting really into it. It's Gevaldik. And so the Gemara says between the first and the second cup, you could even drink a lot of, you could drink grape juice. You know, sometimes people get a little cheap on the grape juice. A lot of grape juice going on. But you're out of drink. However, the Gemara says, I'm talking that between the third and the fourth cup, you're not allowed to drink. What's that? Maybe that's connected also to this idea. What's going on with that? Question two. We know that Paro, throughout the whole story, Paro is Vayichazek Lev Paro. that Paro's heart, his heart was hardened. He just was a very hard guy. And he was very stubborn. And we also know that the Lashonos is Vayichazek, that it was very strong. Vayichabed also, this Lashon of Vayichabed. Is there a difference between Vayichazek and Vayichabed? And how is it possible? Paro saw these unbelievable miracles happening. These miracles were unbelievable. How is it possible that Paro did not learn? What's the yisod? What's the whole idea? What's going on with Paro? What's the difference between a Paro, and we spoke about last week, we spoke about the great Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole name was Min Hamayim Mishimsuhu, that because of Basya, who was Bas Paro. Basya, so beautiful. Basya, what's her name? Basya, even though she was Bas Paro, she's still Basya. She still had Hashem's name in it, because she still was doing the hand of Hashem. She saved, amazing, she saved Moshe Rabbeinu. As we spoke about last week, the idea of Hakaras HaTov and recognizing the Hakaras HaTov. But what's going on? How come Paro just couldn't get his act together? Well, he always, his heart was hardened. And what was going on? What was the whole yisod of Paro? What was he all about? Question 3. We're introduced to the Makkah of Svardeya. We all love, right, the song. Everyone can be singing it. Right, I see you guys over here, you're singing the song. You're not really singing the song, but you should be singing the song. Dam Svardeya Kinim. Right, all the different Makkahs. Unbelievable. Ah, Leila Seder. It's not Leila Seder yet. We still have a little time, but Parshas Vayera is giving us a preview of Leila Seder. And we know that we know Dam, and then we have Svardeya. There's a very, very fascinating medrash that Rashi brings down. Perplexing medrash that Rashi brings down. That it's actually a Gemara in Sanhedrin, a Machlokas, between the great Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar. But what does it say? It says in the Torah, it says the Perekhes, Pusik Beis, it says, Vayed Aharon es yado al meme Mitzrayim. We know that Aaron, for the first couple of Makkahs, we spoke about last week, Aaron was the one that hit the water, because the water saved Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayed Aharon es yado al meme Mitzrayim. Vata'al asvardeya. Vata'al, and the frog ascended. So, what does that mean, the frog ascended? Right? We have the picture. You know, he started throwing all the frogs at the Leila Seder. He got these little frogs, not real frogs, I hope not. Right? You start throwing all the frogs and getting into it. You're not only throwing one big frog. What's going on? So Rashi brings down from the Medrash, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Look it up. Right? Maybe I'm making it up, but it's there. Samach Zayin Amud Beis. And it's a fascinating Medrash. Says the Medrash, Svardeya Akas Haiso. There was only one frog. V'hayumakin oso v'hi matzes nechilim nechilim. They kept on hitting it. Ask the great Stipler Gon. Hello, smart people. If you see that every single time you hit the frog, more frogs come out, and then you hit it again, another frog comes out, stop hitting the frog. You don't got to be a rocket scientist over here. If you see that every single time that you hit the frog, another frogs get out, so stop hitting the frog. What's the whole yisod? This doesn't make so much sense. Why would the Mitzrim keep on hitting the frog? It does not make sense at all. That's question 3. Question 4. We know that Paro, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Egyptian, he keeps on giving them warnings and all the different things. And we know that he tells Paro, listen, I'm going to bring you another plague. A lot of plagues going on. And I'm going to give you the plague of Borod. I'm going to have hailstones, and they're going to come down from heaven, and they're going to destroy your field. And if you want to save all your livestock and you want to save all your things, then bring it inside. And then what does the pasuk say? Mamish fascinating. It says in Perek Tes pasuk Chav, Hayeh Dvar Hashem Me'Avdei Paro Henisat Avado De Mekneu El Abatim. So what do the Egyptians do? The Torah says that Paro's servants, they fear the word of Hashem, and they went and they put things inside. However, people that didn't listen to Hashem did not put things inside. And again, the obvious question is, what are these people, stupid? Like, again, this is after six makas. And all of a sudden, in this makkah, in Barad, they still just didn't get their act together. What's going on? Why did they not put their animals inside? What were they trying to prove here? They didn't realize that the Rabbeinu Shalom was doing all these great miracles. They didn't realize that, you know, statistics, if it happens six times, and Moshe Rabbeinu keeps on saying it's going to happen, statistics tell you that when you're 6 for 6, you're going to hit the seventh one also. Right? So again, when you're 6 for 6, and Moshe Rabbeinu telling you a warning, you're going to hit the seventh. So what's going on here? And furthermore, the very famous Medrash. The Medrash says that there are three advisors that were to Paro. There was an advisor, it was Eov, there was Bilam, and there was Yisro. And Paro was trying to come up with this grand scheme of annihilating the Jews. And we know that Eov was just quiet, Bilam got involved, and Yisro ran away. Yisro couldn't get involved in that at all. What does that Medrash have to do with anything? What does that Medrash have to do with anything? So again, we have a lot of questions. We could spend a lot of time on a lot of these different inyanim. There's a lot of things going on here. A lot of things. But let's try to just review the questions. We have a lot of questions. And let's try to review and let's try to get the foundation. What is the Yisod? Again, maybe we're going to branch out a little, but I think there's major Yisod, those major things that are going to come out from these questions that we can hopefully apply to our lives. So let's just review the four questions. The first question was that Hashem came to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, don't worry, I'm going to take you out. And he told him these arba lashonos of geula, vehotzeiti, veitzalti, vega'alti, velakachti, and I'm going to take you out. Vehotzeiti, I'm going to bring you out. Veitzalti, I'm going to save you. Vega'alti, I'm going to redeem you. Velakachti, I'm going to take you to a nation. And we quoted the Med Yerushalmi that the Rashi and the Rashbam, you know, the Rishonim bring. That's why we have Dalet Kosos. What does that have to do with Dalet Kosos? What does this have to do with anything? And 1B is, why can't you drink between 3 and 4, the third and fourth cup, but you're allowed to drink between the first and second? Question 2 was, what was the whole idea of Paro? You know, again, maybe not the smartest guy in the world, but what's going on? That why did he not get the point? Why was he, again, the Lashonos of Ayichazek, that his heart, I keep on saying the heart and heart and hardened, they're very similar words, but his heart was hardened. What was going on there? Why was his heart, was it constantly hardened? Why Vayichabei, the Lashon of very strong? What was his whole Yisod, this idea of Paro? What's the difference between a Paro and a Moshe? And question 3 was the Svardeya. Just stop hitting the frog. Stop. It doesn't make sense. Just stop hitting the frog. If you see a frog, so many frogs are coming out, just stop hitting it. And the fourth question was, why would some of the mitzvah not take their animals in? What were they trying to prove? And this medrash, what's the medrash between Paro said that I have three advisors, Yisro ran away, Bilam got involved, and we know that Eov was quiet. So what's going on here? Comes along the great Meshech Chokmah. Rav Meir Simcha Midvinsk, the great Gadol, who lived in 1843 to 1926, the great rabbi from Lithuania, he wrote the Meshech Chokmah. He wrote the Or Sameach and Shah on the Rambam. Unbelievable. The grasp of what he had in his hands. Unbelievable. Rav Meir Simcha has a take-home Meshech Chokmah. Rav Meir Simcha builds an unbelievable yisod to understand the Dalet Lashonos of Geula, the four levels of redemption. The Hotzeiti, again, to take us out. The Itzalti, to be saved. The Ga'alti, that we were redeemed, Vilakachti. And he, in his beautiful work, in his thesis work over here, it's such beautiful stuff. He takes these four Lishonos and he explains how they apply. We know that we have Dalet Kosos of the Seder. But the Dalet Kosos, the four cups of wine, or grape juice, are represented in the four sections of the Haggadah. We know the first section is Kiddush. The second section is Magid. The third section that we make on the coast is Birchas Hamazon. And the fourth is Hallel. And then he goes a step further. As we quoted last week, a Medrash. The Medrash says that why was Klal Yisrael Zoche to get out of Mitzrayim? Again, they were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. That's a long time. You know what I'm saying? It's not a short time. Why were they Zoche to get out? So the Medrash says, different Midrashim say that they didn't change their name. They didn't change their language. They weren't involved in Lashon Hara. They weren't involved in Znus. They weren't involved in immoral acts. And he takes that Medrash and he plugs it all in and he says an awesome thing. He says like this. The first cup, the Hotzesi, that I'm getting out, that is represented by Kiddush. Because what does Kiddush represent? Kiddush represents HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. We sanctify ourselves. Because we are the Am HaNivchar. We are the chosen nation. And we got out. If we weren't the chosen nation and we didn't make a separation, so then we just would have, again, there were a lot of four-fifths of Klal Yisrael. They got involved and they didn't get out. They got assimilated. But a Jew is someone that is Mekadesh. A Jew is someone that separates himself from bad things. He sanctifies himself. And that is the first. We start off saying Kiddush. Because what do we show? We show ourselves that we are separate. We are different. We are distinct from the nations of the world. We are different. We're holy. Just like the Ribbono Shel Olam is holy, we take that holiness and we apply it to ourselves. We could only give what we got. And we are holy. And we take that. Says the Meshech Chochma, the first Lashon of Hotzesi, that we're leaving Mitzrayim. Only someone that's separate from the Goyim, that's Kadosh, inherently is Kadosh. That's how you could be Kadosh. Kadoshim to you. That we separate ourselves from Znus, from bad things. And that's the Hotzesi. The Hotzesi represents that we weren't mixed up with the Goyim. And that's, we weren't involved in Znus, that Medrash says. We weren't involved in immoral acts. And that's the Hotzesi, that's the number one. The Hitzalti. What is the Hitzalti? Says the Meshech Chochma, beautiful, that it represents the idea that Klal Yisrael, there was a lot of Achdus that took place. There was a lot of Achdus with Klal Yisrael. They got together as a nation. Even in Mitzrayim, there was a level of Achdus. They didn't speak Lashon Hara, the Midrashim say. They were all together. They were all one. There was that one incident with Dosan V'Aviram that they went against. They were the Eruvah, and they spoke bad about Moshe and about Klal Yisrael. But that was separate. But we see that they didn't speak Lashon Hara. The Hitzalti, and the way we were able to be saved is that we were able to get all together. We were all to get Achdus together, and we were joined together. And in order to feel that each person is important, each person is a person in Olam Mole. There wasn't so much jealousy. People were helping each other. And where does that, says the Meshech Chochma, that represents Birchos Hamazon. Because what's Birchos Hamazon? Hazon es ha'olam kulo. That Hashem is taking care of everyone. Hashem loves us and He gives everything to everyone. So that represents the Tzalti, representing the Birchos Hamazon. And that represents that we didn't speak Lashon Hara. The Medrash says that we didn't speak Lashon Hara. Viga'alti. What's Viga'alti? Viga'alti means that we're going from slavery, from Avdus to Cherus. That an Eved, as we know, an Eved is stuck. He doesn't really have his ability to be free. He's just a person that doesn't have choice. Sometimes, you know, people, they go, when they go to jail, they get stuck and they're just avodim. They're avodim, they're slaves to themselves, and they get stuck. They get stuck. I remember when I was in college, I went, and my grandfather was a chaplain in Rikers Island. And we took a class trip. It was awesome. We took a class trip to visit my grandfather in Rikers Island. And we went, and I was able to see him in action. And there were a lot of people learning Torah in jail. But there were also some, you know, other people that also just wanted the kosher food. What's up? You know, we have good kosher food. Everyone wants to be Jewish. And but it was amazing because these are people that were in jail. And then they would get freed for whatever, you know, they served their time. And they were so avodim. They couldn't take the responsibility of being able to decide and do things by themselves that they did bad things just get back into jail. Right? They were avodim. But we have the ability to get out. We have the ability to not be a slave. That's geula, that's redemption. And that represents the idea that we could be an Eved LaHashem. We could be an Eved to Hashem. And that represents the idea of passing it on from generation to generation. Because why are we so special? Why are we so special? Because Hashem loves us. And that represents the idea that we didn't change our names. We didn't change our names. Because we just keep on looking to the future because Hashem loves us. And the last idea, and that's represent in the Maggid. Because what's Maggid about? Maggid is all about Klal Yisrael, about the history, about the Maskil Beginus. We start off when we are down and we are downtrodden. Umesayim b'shvach. And then we conclude with the Shvach because we look back and we see what we've done, but we look to the future. And that's the idea that we don't change our names. We look to the past and the present. And we keep on going to the future. And then we go to the Lakachti. What's the Lakachti? What's the fourth Hallel? We give praise to Hashem. We don't change our Lashon, our tongue, our mother tongue. We love Hashem and we look and we say, Hashem, wow, thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything you did. And we look. And we look to Eretz Yisrael, Vilakakti, and we're making ourselves into a nation with the Torah. And that represents the fourth, the Hallel, says the Meshech Chochmah. Beautiful. This Meshech Chochmah is a game-changing Meshech Chochmah. You got to take it to the Seder with you. That again, these Arba Lashonis of Geula, that we take the Arba Lashonis of Geula and we put it all into the Seder night. And my grandfather, Rav Amzer, I also saw the Sefer in Rav Asher Weiss. He writes, they both, it's the same idea. Why? Why is there no separation between the third and the fourth cup? Because the Ga'alti, even though we have a physical freedom, the Ga'alti, we're redeemed. We need to go to the Lakachti. It's not just enough that we have physical freedom. There's, you know, Baruch Hashem, we live in a free world and we have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for that. Can't take it for granted. But we have to take it and take it to a lakachti. So you can't drink between the third and the fourth. Because it's not just enough that you're physically free. You have to be spiritually free. You have to be an Eved to Hashem. Because Hashem loves us. And Hashem wants that relationship. Hashem does everything for us. That's the idea why we don't drink between the third and the fourth cup. What's going on with Tzvardeya? Why did they keep on hitting the frog? Stop hitting the frog. Comes along the stipler. And the stipler goes says, a mamish a gavaldik yisod. Because sometimes when a person gets angry and a person gets involved and things don't work out the way I wanted it to work out. And again, we all have to work on this to our own level. Everyone has an idea that sometimes, you know, Hashem runs the world. When we get angry, we're kind of saying that, you know, we run the world. Again, maybe there's sometimes, there could be a reason why you're getting angry, but usually, I know for myself, that when I get angry, it's because things aren't working out the way I want it to work out. But Hashem runs the world. And when you get so angry, you lose control. Your das goes out the window. Says the stipler, they kept on hitting the frog. Stop hitting the frog. What are you doing? Stop hitting the frog. But the Mitzrim kept on hitting the frog because the anger took them over. Their das went out the window. Their acknowledgement, realizing that they could stop from this from happening, and that went out the window. And that's the same thing that happened with Paro. Paro was a very, very, very stubborn person. He kept on seeing all these makis. Just listen, man. I'm sorry. Just give in. Says the Malbim, the Lashon of Vayichazek and Vayichabed represents Vayichazek. He needed to strengthen himself. He strengthened himself saying, Hashem made him strengthen him, and it's a big shiloh. The Rambam writes, what do you mean? Doesn't a person have Bechira? So the Rambam writes in Shmona Prakim, in his Perush on Pirkei Avos, he says, no, he was such a Rasha, he was so bad, he lost his Bechira. Unbelievable. He lost his Bechira point. Unbelievable thing from the Rambam. Again, it's a Machlokas, some Rishonim disagree with this idea. However, he was such a Rasha, he lost his Bechira. But he was so stubborn. He just couldn't open up his eyes. He couldn't realize. He saw the truth in front of him. There was one point he went to the Chartumim and he said, what's going on? And the Chartumim said, this is Hashem. And he still was so stubborn. He wouldn't give in to it. And he said, no, it's not. And he just would fight and he would fight and he would fight. Even though it was so clear. It was so clear in front. It's similar to that Smardeya. That it was so clear to them that you keep on hitting it, but still they were so locked within themselves and they couldn't get out of themselves. But Moshe Rabbeinu, as we spoke about last week, and what a Yid's about, Yehudi's about, is about getting out of yourself, realizing that the Rabbonu Shalom's in charge, not us. Yeah, we do Ishtadlus and we try to do our best, but Hashem is running the world. Big things and small things. The Midrashim say that when Hashem came to Moshe and he told him about the Avos, the difference between the Avos, even though there are Midrashim that say all about the Nes Gluyim, all the open miracles, still says the Midrashim that the Avos, you know, they lived in their Dalet Amos, and if you look through the Torah, there were no Nes Gluyim. It was all Nes Nistarim. But now we come to the Makos because Hashem could do anything. I was telling all of some of my guys, that we got to instill, these are the parshas of Emunah, that we have to daven harder and realize Hashem is running the world. We need to just talk to Hashem, even outside of tefillah. Even if you're not in davening, you could talk to Hashem. You're stuck in traffic. Say, Hashem, help me. You know, whatever it is, you could talk to Hashem whenever you want. These are the parshas of Emunah. And Paro rejected that. Paro did not realize that the Rebbeinu, he just closed his eyes. And a lot of times, sometimes in life, we also close our eyes. We don't realize, you know, all the great things that Hashem's doing for us. And we close our eyes. But we need to open our eyes. We need to see the hidden miracles and the open miracles. Says a great Chafetz Chaim, you look through Bilam. Imagine, you're chilling, you're going on your car. Nowadays, you know, you probably have... The cars are going to start talking to us soon, so this example probably won't be so good anymore. But again, with Bilam, back in the day, a long time ago, Bilam was just going and traveling, and all of a sudden, his donkey starts talking to him. And if you look through that whole section of Bilam, he didn't even flinch. Yo, your donkey's talking to you, man, wake up. But no, he was so stubborn, he just needed, that's what the Medrash said. Medrash says, Bilam was out to get to the Jews. He wanted them. Even if a donkey tells you, stop, what are you doing? He doesn't get moved from that. You don't get moved from a donkey talking to you? I mean, I don't know, the last time. You know, again, guys, if donkeys are talking to you, you got to go somewhere else. You know, you can't be here anymore. We got to find you a different place. They might have some white goats over there, you know what I'm saying? But again, the donkey was talking to him and he didn't move. But again, it's the same Yisod. Because you could be so stubborn. If you're so stubborn and set in your ways, then you're not going to grow. You need to realize the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. And this is exactly Rabbi Fran, the great Rabbi Fran. This is what he says. He says that this was the idea of Bilaam. And this is what he says. Why did the people not bring in their animals? Because they were stubborn. They didn't believe. Even though statistics was, you know, what Moshe says from Hashem, that another plague is going to come. It's going to come. But they didn't care. And he says an amazing thing. You know, he says, we laugh at Bilaam. Come on, Bilaam. You're such a silly guy. A donkey's talking to you. You're not going to be able to curse. You keep on trying to curse Klal Yisrael, but you end up blessing them. Don't you realize? But he says, you know, we're not so much better ourselves. He hits the point. You know, this thing about the pace of life. It used to be, there's been so many, you know, new modern appliances. You know, we have cars, and we have refrigerators, and we have washing machines, and we have dryers, and we have so many things. We could go on and on and on. So now we have more time in our hand. So says our friend, the Mamash, a big Yisod here. He says, I'll read it for you. Again, it's page 97 in his first book, Rav Fran on the Parsha. He says, have we managed to catch our breath because all these labor-saving devices? Do we have more time to learn? Do we have more time to spend with the family, to reflect, to rest? We have so much time. Says Rav Fran, the opposite is true. We are more rushed than ever. The pace of life is so rapid and we could barely breathe. Something is wrong. But do we pay heed? Do we stop and think about what is going on around us? Do we stop to assess our lives to see if we perhaps have gone a little off the track? It's not only Bilaam, it's not only Paro. We need to take control of ourselves. Hashem has given us amazing things, technology and amazing things. Awesome. You know, I'm looking for maybe getting a new pair of glasses. They have a new thing. You can take your face and try on glasses on the computer. It's awesome. You know, my father was very involved in creating Watson. It's crazy. A computer that talks and this and that. And my daughter just got this Alexa. You know, sometimes, you know, unbelievable the world's going on. But now that things have advanced, are we using that advancement that we could use, as our friend says, and it's push it? Are we stuck in our ways? Are we going to be a Bilaam, Chas V'Shalom, or a Paro, stuck in our ways? Or are we going to say, wow, Hashem has given us more time. He's made things easier. Can you imagine? People used to have to go to the river to clean their clothes. Can you even imagine that? But we just take it for granted. But now Hashem's given us more time. But we get more involved. And we waste more time. We need to take charge of ourselves. We need to realize we could do it. We need to take our phones and turn them off when we get to daven. Not vibrate. Off. Leave them at home. But when we're davening, we leave them at home. We don't need to be bothered for 15 minutes if you talk to Hashem. For 20 minutes, for 45 minutes, chakras, you could talk to Hashem. This is a major yisod. This is major. Are we going to be stubborn? Or are we going to learn? We're going to say, Hashem, you're talking to me. You love me. Just to finish off with an awesome story I heard. I heard the story a couple of times. A great story. There was a guy. It was a Mea Sharim. Long time ago already. And there had nothing to eat. And they decided they were going to go to Italy. Whatever reason, they decided they were going to go to Italy. They were going to get one guy who was going to take a boat trip. And he was going to go to Italy. He's hopefully going to find a very, very, very wealthy guy. And hopefully, you know, he could help. So many people are so poor. Maybe he'll help out. So one guy, his name, a true story, Shmuel Rosenfeld. He was picked. He obviously didn't want to be picked. He had a lot of children, but he was picked. He was an outgoing person. And he takes a boat to Italy. He goes to Italy. And he gets to a very, very, very wealthy Jew. A Jewish man. He has a house bigger, 8 stories. Tremendous house. And he goes in. He's blown away. And he's like thinking, oh, I got to get some cash from this guy. And he's looking around and he's looking around and he sees beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things. And then right in the middle of, you know, all this silver and gold and everything he got, there's a pitcher, an oil jug pitcher that's broken. And like he looks again, and it's an oil. I mean, it looks like, whoa, you know, maybe that's a golden oil jug. No, I mean, that's a broken glass oil jug. And he turns to the man, and he says, you know, with all due respect, what, you know, a strange question. But again, you know, whenever you have a strange question, there's a story behind that, you know. So he's like, can you just tell, like, why is there an oil jug in the middle of all this beautiful? So the man says an awesome story. He says, my grandfather was in Italy. He was getting older. And he was a very, 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 very firm man. And he would learn Torah every day. He'd go to Minyan 3 times a day. And I learned with him. And he showed me the ropes. And he showed me everything. And I was getting the business down. I was a young kid. My parents sent me over. And I was really getting it down. I was learning with my grandfather. I was involved in Yiddishkeit. I was the business. Everything was awesome. And then my grandfather had a heart attack. I was a little older already. And he passed away. But I still was running the business. And I was making so much money, so much cash. And it was awesome. And then I found a wife. And it was great. But then, you know, my Yiddishkeit started going down. And I wasn't learning so much anymore. And I wasn't learning. And I wasn't davening. And I was slipping away, slipping away, slipping away. One day I was walking. And all of a sudden, I hear a little boy, and he's crying. And, you know, at first, I wanted to ignore the crying. But I decided, you know, I'm going to go, and I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen, you know, find out what's going on. He went over to the boy. He said, are you okay? Is everything okay? And he said, unfortunately, my parents are, you know, very, very, very poor. And we are saving up so much money. You know, it's Hanukkah now. Oh, he's like, oh, yeah, Hanukkah, of course, right, Hanukkah. And we were saving up for a pitcher of oil, and I was so excited. My father gave me money to go buy this oil. We're going to have the best oil for Hanukkah. And I was running, going, so excited, and I tripped. And now the pitcher broke, and I have nothing. And I don't know, my father and my family is going to be broken. And the man looks to the boy, and he's like, here, I'll give you money. Gave him enough for 20 oil jars. And the boy is ecstatic. He's going to buy another oil jar. And then the man went to that broken oil jar. And he said, oh, I'm missing the Yiddishkeit. I'm missing the Yiddishkeit for my life. I need to bring it back in. I'm missing something. I'm missing the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he took that little jar. And after that, everything started switching. Started learning more. His family got more religious. And then he started davening. And then he became a Gevir and a Talmud Chacham. And then he obviously gave this man the money. He gave Shmuel Rosenfeld a nice sum of money to take back to Eretz Yisrael, to Mesh Sharm. But that's a person that was stuck in his ways and he realizes he can make change. That's what we're all about. We learn from the Makos. We learn from the story that we're not going to be stuck in our ways. We're going to grow. We're going to grow in our Torah. We're going to have the Da'al Lashonus of the Gula because we're Kadosh. We're so special to Hashem and Hashem loves us. Let us keep on growing. Let us learn so many inyanim from the Parsha. But let us not be like a Bilam, not like a Paro. Let's be like a Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki min hamayim yishisu, realizing what the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us. Everything, and let us keep on growing more and more and more.